Good morning. It's good to be with you today and good to have those of you that are visiting with us. We're glad that you're here. Hope that you can come and be with us again. This morning we're going to continue in our studies in Acts chapter 2. And you could say that we've slowed down our study in the book of Acts to examine what these people that are mentioned here did immediately once they became followers of Christ. So we've been looking at the passage in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47, last couple of weeks. And today we will be looking at the topic of being devoted to fellowship. In Acts chapter 2, we see that those that were added to the body of Christ, when they after they had heard the word and they were pierced to their hearts, and they asked Peter what it is that they should do, and they were told to repent and be baptized. And what we see here in verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And so the devotion that they have here to following the apostles' teaching, and as we talked about last week, to the breaking of bread, which was at the Lord's Supper, and this morning talking about devoting themselves to fellowship. And fellowship is a word that is thrown around quite a bit today. And it is a word that is greatly misunderstood in the religious world. But it is something that is very important. And as we'll see in the lesson today, it's important that we do have fellowship in the way that we see it described for us in the scriptures. The word fellowship brings up many things and many distorted meanings that we see. But really, the word fellowship means joint participation. And so, if you see a building that says fellowship hall, it means joint participation hall. But what is it that we are jointly participating in? Is the question. Fellowship is about a group of people who enter into an agreement and follow a common goal or share a common goal and work together to obtain that goal. And the local congregation really illustrates that meaning, Christians working together to accomplish the commands that we see. But when people think about this word fellowship, probably they think about eating together, or many people do, or watching TV together, or shopping together, or something along those lines when speaking about fellowship. And you know, this idea of a fellowship hall, when people think about that, that's the place where the church goes when they want to eat donuts and have pizza and drink soda, or eating a meal or spending time together. And that's really not the focus of spiritual fellowship, and it's really a tragedy that it has come to mean that in the religious world today. You know, food and potlucks and barbecues are all things that are very appealing, but that's not the idea of fellowship that we see in the scriptures. And that really does make sense when you read what we're reading here in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. When you reread Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and see what this sounds like. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to breaking bread, and to prayers, and to food, and to potlucks, and to barbecues. You know, that is not the way that reads. That doesn't sound right, does it? That can't be the meaning of fellowship. And it's not the meaning of fellowship. So let's consider some other New Testament passages where we see this use of the word fellowship and see what is being intended and what's being pictured. First of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And so this passage here telling us that we're called together into fellowship of His Son, does that really sound like what the world thinks of fellowship? Is this talking about food and drink and that fit here in this text? Clearly, the idea of fellowship here is something that's much bigger and much more important than the idea of spending time together in a social way. That's not what Paul is talking about. In 1 John chapter 1 that Brennan read for us this morning, 1 John chapter 1, and starting in verse 3, it says, That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, that you may, that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And as you read on, it says, we are writing these things to you so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light and Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so you can see from this passage as well that fellowship here is not talking about eating food or something like that. Fellowship is something more deep and more important. John says that if we are walking in the light, then we are following the apostles' teaching, or we have fellowship with the apostles' teaching. We have participation in the gospel with each other. More importantly, we have participation with the Lord. We have fellowship with the Lord when we are walking in the light. And this is the same way that Paul used the term fellowship. We are called into fellowship with who? With His Son. With God's Son. And what are we called to? We're called to having a relationship or a connection, a participation. And as we said at the beginning, that's what the word means. It means participation. And we have participation with Christ. And so when you look at the way that the word is used here in the New Testament, it's a lot different than what people think about when they think of the word fellowship or fellowshipping today. And so what we want to see is that fellowship is a spiritual bond about us working together. It's a connection with Christ that leads us to be close together. And it also, you know, binds us together as people of God. And so what is the outcome of fellowship? As we see in Acts chapter 2, you see the results of fellowship and the way that the Christians treated one another. In Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And so what you see here is the way that they treated one another, the concern and the care that they had one for another. Where did that come from? Well, it came from the relationship that they had. It came from the fellowship that they had with one another, with Jesus Christ as well. And so you see in verse 44, it says the disciples were together. They had all things in common because of this connection that they had. And they shared what they had with one another. And so when we look at the gospel, what happened when people obeyed the gospel? Well, they became connected to Christ. They became Christians. They had their sins washed away. But that wasn't the only thing that happened. That was probably the most important thing that happened, is that they now can be united with Christ and have hope of a home in heaven for eternity. But there's also a change in relationship. And the gospel produced a relationship with other Christians, and they have a concern for the needs of each other in this new spiritual family, in this connection that they have, not just for their own things. Verse 45 says they were selling their possessions. They were selling what they had, the things that belonged to them. They were sharing with others. And so they had a concern for those that they were connected to. And so this connection or this fellowship with Christ caused them to spend time together, as we see in verse 46, day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts. And so they went to the temple together every day. They associated with one another. They praised God together. They had favor with one another. But what I want you to see is that sometimes people associate these things, the being together and the eating, they associate that with fellowship. Now, these things were the result of fellowship. These things are the result of the relationship that they had with one another. The relationship that they have with God, the relationship that they have with one another. These things are the outcome of fellowship. And you don't get those two confused. And so when we're joined together and become a spiritual family, what happens? Families care for one another. Families look out for one another's needs. They spend time in the Word together. They spend time together. They spend time praising God together. And why do those things happen? It's because they have a spiritual connection with each other. And we are connected with Christ, and we're connected with each other. And when we have that connection together, it causes us to care for one another. And so when we love each other, this is the outgrowth of love. The things that these Christians are doing for one another. And so do we become the family here that's represented in this text? Well, that's what we want to be. We want to be that kind of family that cares for one another and spends time with one another and sees each other and devotes themselves together and are devoted to that relationship and devoted to that connection. That's a beautiful picture as the church started in Acts chapter 2. So let's talk briefly about some of the problems that people have with this term fellowship. We are victims of our culture many times, and we have many distractions and many responsibilities, and distractions are a great problem because it keeps us from having the type of relationship with God or the fellowship with God that we should have. And what we see, and we've mentioned this before in other lessons, we live in a world of extreme individualism. And we're connected electronically to the world, and probably too much so, that we know everything that's going on everywhere. And Keith Stonehart and I were talking about this at camp a few weeks ago, how it sure would be nice to go back to the days of not having the internet and not knowing what everybody is doing and not knowing what all the problems are everywhere. It's causes anxiousness. And the theme of our Bible classes at camp was about handling anxiety, because certainly there's a lot of anxiety in the world today. And when you turn on the TV, what does it make you do? It makes you get anxious, depending on what you're watching. You look at your phone. You look at the internet. There's so many things that cause us great anxiety. And so this being connected electronically causes a lot of issues. But another problem that we have today is that we can be disjointed from each other. We can be connected to nothing when it comes to relationships. People can hunker down and not have relationships with one another. And Western thinking really declares that the individual is supreme and that is in need of no one. And you know, Eastern thinking is not so much that way. Eastern thinking is more about thinking about the group and thinking about the family and thinking about the good of the whole over the good of the one. So you look at our culture today, and it's telling us what? It's telling us, think about yourself. You know, you're number one. And you add that to the fact that we have so many distractions and so many time wasters, and multiply that with the busyness of our schedules. You know, Jarell and I were talking yesterday, and you know, one of my friends on Facebook, when I posted something, he says, "You better watch out, you may get thrown in Facebook jail." And I told Jarell, I said, "That may be the best thing that could happen to me." Just think of all the work that I would get done, you know, if I wasn't, you know, looking at this. If they would put me in Facebook jail and not let me log into my account for 2 weeks, it'd probably be a great thing. So you think about the time that you waste on things that keep you anxious. And we're so busy, and we're not busy with things that are productive. What I'm saying is that sometimes we don't see our need for each other. And the time in which we live with the pandemic and people being separated and being socially distanced and being careful, and I understand the medical reasons for that. We don't, as I said many times, I don't want to get used to that. And sometimes people don't see the need for coming together because I've got my devices, I've got my internet, I've got my entertainment, and there are people in their regular secular jobs that probably haven't darkened the door of their office in almost a year. And so everything that they do is isolated. But if that kind of attitude prevails in the church, it'll kill the church. If everybody is about being a strong individual and about shallow fellowship, that'll kill the church. Verse 46 says, day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they receive their food with glad and generous hearts. This does not sound like a group of individuals that everybody's concerned about themselves and wants to be isolated. That's not what they want. They met every day in the temple. Their fellowship, that joint participation, spiritually, connecting to each other, they desired to do that. And evidently they didn't desire to be by themselves. They didn't see that their walk, as John describes it, their walking with God was merely individual. They saw the necessity of connecting with each other. And that should be an outgrowth of the gospel, is that it changes us from thinking about ourselves to thinking about others. And we certainly see that here in Acts chapter 2. One of the first things that we see after they became Christians was this joint participation with one another, this care for one another. And if we want to be alone and we don't want to be with the people of God, then maybe we're not as transformed as we should be. We're not thinking about each other. We're not thinking about strengthening one another or thinking about others' needs. We're thinking about ourselves. And so, that's one of the dangers we have in the technology that we have today. And again, I understand the current situation with the pandemic. And I don't know that there's any of us here that almost a year ago when this started that we thought that we would still be in the situation that we are now. And we had discussions about that. Are people going to get used to this? Are they going to get used to having Zoom church? Are they going to get used to having this this disconnect? And I thought, no, people won't get used to that. People will not desire that. But it seems more and more that people are getting used to it. That there's no connection with others, and no joint participation, no sharing together. The church is not something that we watch. It's joint participation, it's fellowship, it's connection, it's participation. And that's something that we really need to keep in the forefront of our minds, that the situation that we're in right now, we should consider that temporary and not desirable. Because, as you see here in Acts chapter 2, what is the church about? It's not about individualism. It's not about privacy. It's about being together and helping one another and encouraging one another. And that's hard to do when you can't be together. And so what they were doing every day here in Acts chapter 2, they were spiritually connecting their lives to each other as they devoted themselves to their life as a Christian, spending time together, praising God together. So let me state it another way. If it doesn't kill us to miss gathering together, then there's something wrong with our connection. If it doesn't bother us that we can't be together as we used to be, then there's something wrong with our relationship, not only with each other, but with God. We should want to be together for spiritual things. And being properly connected with Christ, as you see here in Acts chapter 2, it means being properly connected with each other. And if we're content to be isolated, that's not a good thing. I remember, you know, growing up and when we had gospel meetings, usually I was real excited that we had a gospel meeting. I know everybody didn't feel the same way, but one of the reasons I was excited about it is because I knew we were going to get invited out to eat every night. But the reason to be excited about the meeting is we're going to get to be together. Every night we're going to get to hear the gospel. I'm going to get to hear somebody other than my father speak. You know, I'm going to be able to hear the Word of God. But sometimes that's not the attitude that we have. Oh, another gospel meeting. I'm going to have to go. I'm going to get ready to go five nights or four nights straight. And if we would rather just go home rather than spend time with one another and participate in worship, then maybe there's something wrong with our heart. Maybe there's something wrong with our connection to Christ and with each other. So I know I've probably belabored this point and beat this horse to death, but Acts chapter 2 is telling us here, you're not, this did not launch an age of individualism when the church started. The words of Acts chapter 2 should be jarring to our thoughts of individualism and isolation. They wanted to be together. They cared about one another. And that's the way that it should be. So when you read about fellowship, you're not reading about food and fun. It's about being connected to Christ. And that leads us to a joint participation with each other. They devoted themselves to being spiritually minded. And these connections that they had with one another were an outgrowth of their faith in Jesus Christ. And they saw each other as a family. They sold property, they sold possessions to help each other. Their concern about being together is not what they could get out of it, but what they could do for one another. They were seeking to give themselves to the Lord and to each other. So Acts chapter 2 is a great way to see how brethren ought to interact with one another and the care and concern that we should have for one another. So let's not be mistaken about what fellowship means. But we should want to be together. We should want to jointly participate in our worship together and in our lives with one another, because that's, you know, what a family does. I hope this will be useful to you, and I hope that we are all looking forward to the day that when we can be together more. And if you are not part of that family, these blessings that we have together that are described for us in Acts chapter 2 come as from being part of that spiritual family. And we're added to that family just the same way that those on the day of Pentecost were, by being buried in baptism or raised to walk a new life. If we can help you in any way, we'd like you to come while we stand and sing.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you garments trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood?
Please be seated. Just wanted to make a couple of comments about Jason and Amanda. As some of you probably saw in Amanda's post, Jason has applied for and been accepted for a new job in Auburn. And I don't really have anything prepared to say this morning because I thought they might be with us a little longer, but this may be the last Sunday that they are with us for a while. Jason has accepted the job in Auburn, and I know to some of you that sounds highly distasteful, but to me it sounds like a great thing. But he is going to be, I'm not sure what the official title is, but some kind of director of the Parks and Recreation there. This is something that he has wanted for a while, and I'm very glad that he is going to be able to do that. Of course, we're going to miss them greatly here. When I think about what I said this morning in the lesson about joint participation and care for one another, certainly that has embodied the way that they have been since they were here. They came here with no kids, and so Elliottsville will always be the place where they had all four of their kids unless they keep having them. But I think they're going to stop. But we're going to miss Eloise, Calvin, Amelia, and Zeke, and Jason, and Amanda. I don't know how many years they've been here. It seems like they've been here forever. But they are both, they are so spiritually mature, more so than their age. And Jason, from the time that he came here, he was one of the ones that first started talking about having elders and being scripturally organized. And Jason kept bringing that up. He's very instrumental and very wise in the decisions that he has made, and both he and Michael in facilitating the elder process here were both very spiritually mature. And I could really do a whole lesson just talk about the things that they have done, the hospitality that they've shown, and Amanda certainly has a lot on her plate with four kids, but they would bring others into their home constantly. The young people were invited on a regular basis over to their home for Bible studies, and the encouragement that they have been to us over the years has been outstanding, and I can't really say how disappointed I am that they are leaving, but I'm also excited for them and their new venture, and I know that they will be a blessing to the church in Auburn, and there's lots of good people there that will be a benefit to them and them be as well. So I'm not real happy to make that announcement, but I'm happy, I'm trying to be happy for them in that regard. During this time of the pandemic, probably a lot of you remember when we were so separated at the beginning, Jason and Anna did a drive-by encouragement. They went and drove by. And so just to give everybody some encouragement with a little visit, just even if you're social distance, they just wanted to see everybody, which was great. So there's so much more that I can say, but I just want to say thank you and that we love you and pray that everything, you know, goes well. If it doesn't turn out to be what you wanted, you can always come back. But we love each one of you and pray the best for you. At the camp in Children's Harbor that we have been to many times, there's a sign, there used to be a sign there that said, "Don't cry because it's over, but smile because it happened." And that's the way I feel about you guys. I try to not cry, you know, because it's over, but be happy, you know, for the things that we've shared together and the encouragement that you guys have been to us. So I've asked Rex to lead number 66. It's the song that we often sing at the end of our gospel meetings and it's the prayer for the one that's leaving us. And it's "God bless you, go with God." And so they're not going to be far away. I'm hopeful that we will see them often, but want to pray for you the words of this song as we end our service today.
This is my daily prayer.
Let us pray. Dearest Heavenly Father, through your Son Jesus, we pray to help guide us each and every day through your word, through our studies that we should have. Forgive us when we don't. Forgive us for our sins whenever we're not seeking others first before ourselves. Help us to go forward in our lives and to be continuing our fellowship with each other in the best that we can under the current conditions of this world. We pray, dear Father, that you can be with the various families, some of which were announced today, like the Larry Alexander family, and be with Amanda's uncle's family and the folks in Tuscaloosa, all these different families that we've heard of changes in their lives, sometimes because of the pandemic that's in the world and sometimes for just our lives wearing out. But give us strength and courage and realize that we have the hardship it was for Jesus to leave heaven and to come to earth to live as a human, and then to go through all the rejection of the people and still to live without sin, that we have Him to look forward to in our lives that can guide us as we go forward to as best as we can emulate His life, which is our duty to help others too. We ask that You can be with those that are leading this nation and other nations, that the world can again throw their hearts, their minds, and their souls and their bodies towards obeying You and being Christians to the best of their abilities, that we can also, as Christians, be able to teach and train others throughout our lives. Be with the Burnetts as they go forward to their next place in life, and help us all to go through our lives in whatever trials or tribulations You give us, just to realize that as a father chastens his sons, that we should go forward and be better on the next part of our lives too. So again, through Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.
Thank you.